Word on Today FM.
We got a great reaction the last time Russell Alford was with us to do food destinations as part of travel, so we've asked him back again. Russell, of course, he co-restaurant critic at the Sunday Times Ireland, half of GastroGaze, and of course they do our annual cookbook section for us in the run-up to Christmas, which isn't that far away. Russell, thank you very much for coming back.
A pleasure.
The last day, and it's available on a podcast, you did Copenhagen and San Sebastian for us. We're going further afield today. We want you to do Chicago and Seoul in South Korea. Let's start in Seoul in South Korea. And if you go to South Korea, you didn't just go for the food, did you?
I did. I very much did. I travelled to Seoul in 2019. It was actually my last big trip before the big lockdowns of the likes. And I had one of those amazing experiences. So I flew into Seoul and then I went straight to Busan, which is the city in the south, the far south of the peninsula there. Spent about 3 days in Busan and then went up to Seoul and just ate very, very well around that city. It's a beautiful city, great sights, really great transport connections, lovely, friendly people, but the food.
Okay, why? What in particular is about it? Because you can get Korean food now here in Ireland,
yeah.
But is it any relation to what you actually get in Korea?
Very, very similar. So Korean food would have a lot, there is a lot of spice in it, but it's also very tame as well. I find it's quite creative.
Oh, hang on, how could it be spicy and tame?
I find the balance is perfect.
Okay.
So you're not blowing your mouth off too much, and it's still just satisfying enough. It has a tingle more than anything else. Now, you can obviously get very spicy things with lots of chili peppers and the likes, but I have found that most dishes, so whether it's soup and noodles or whether it's some dumplings, it's all been very, very tame. So there's a handful of dishes from there in particular that I loved.
Okay, take us through. Give us what's a Korean barbecue, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
And I'm not either. So Korean barbecue is a really
Samgyeopsal, is that what it is?
Yes, let's go with that.
All right, let's try that.
So I tried this firstly in Busan, and it wasn't the best experience because I set the fire alarm at the restaurant off. So you are...
How did you do that?
Well, so you are given, you are at a table and in front of you is a gas-powered grill that you are given the raw meat, some vegetables, some what's called banchan, which is like all the little accompaniments that you might have alongside. So some like cucumbers, a bit of rice, some lotus root, and bits of chili that you can put on top of your dish, kind of to customize it and season it. The meat, I wasn't actually sure how to work it, and I put some meat in the wrong place and it just started smoking and a little bit of a flame, and the staff came out and was like, "You've never used this before, have you?" And I went, "No," and they went, "We'll show you." So it was an experience, and we got it right then for the second visit. This is very simple. You'd get beautiful pieces of like Wagyu beef, really thinly sliced, or some pork, and you'd just cook it away very gently with your chopsticks. It's so thin, it's very hard to overcook. You'd have it with a bit of rice, some kimchi, which is the fermented cabbage that's very, very good for your gut in particular, and lots of spicy flavours as well. And then you can balance it off with some of the refreshing, like the cucumbers, smashed cucumbers that just really cut through all that spice in particular.
And then the bibimbap?
Bibimbap. So this is like a dish, a rice dish that it's a very beautiful, simple dish that you'd get a lot of like slices of beef in particular. You might get an egg on top of it. It's a very filling lunch dish. It's very much like a rice bowl. And it's a really, really delicious little dish that you can have. They use an ingredient called gochujang, which is very easily available, very widely available, whether it's in specialty food stores or not. They have it. It is a fermented chili paste that you can incorporate into so many different dishes, into your sauces, into broths in particular. If you just want to add a bit of an extra kick and a spice to it, it's really commonly used in Korean culture and Korean cooking, and it's worth it. And it's also kind of the dried version of it would be the basis of kimchi making as well.
And is fried chicken a universal dish? You've got now the Korean version.
Of course I have fried chicken on here. Korean fried chicken, the story that goes with it is US soldiers who were stationed in Korea during the Korean War missed fried chicken so much, there was a local adaptation made. So the Korean version, and it's similar to Japanese, there's a Japanese style called karage as well. So it's quite common where US soldiers were stationed that there was a version of it that came along. The Korean version is spicy. So it has gochujang in it, it has sesame oil, sometimes a bit of honey as well, just to add a bit of sweetness. And its quality is the fact that it remains crispy despite being sticky and covered in a sauce. I went on an exploration. I think I had it every day when I was in Seoul because I was determined. I was writing a cookbook on fried food, so I was doing my research hard on this particular recipe. And it's everywhere there. It's very much in the culture of you go for fried chicken and you go for a beer, and the concept's called Chimac. And there's a place in Dublin called Chimac who do exactly that. And it's very much inspired by the Korean culture of that. It is really, really worth checking out. You can have some great food there, and that's a real casual setting, and it's full of locals. You'd think something like that would be very touristic. It's not, full of locals.
Is it easy to get into places? Yeah. Sort of just walk in rather than having to have reservations?
Yeah, I think I only had a reservation for one place when I was in Seoul. And that was because I really, really wanted to go to it. There was a market there as well. If you watch a show on Netflix called Street Food, there was an episode all about Korea, and there's a food market there. Fantastic.
Well, sounds like a much better experience than my experience in Pyongyang in North Korea, where in the space of 4.5 days, I lost nearly 1/2 a stone in weight. I don't know whether it was nerves. It was like instant Ozempic. But anyway,
yeah. I did the opposite. I gained 4.5 stone in Seoul. So
right. Well, no, I lost only 1/2 a stone. Yeah. No, not 4.5, but 1/2 a stone. Yeah, but yeah, they had 18-course meal for us, a formal sort of state banquet, and it was an individual piece of food on every plate. So you had nothing else, and God knows what some of them were, and they were disgusting, some of them. But anyway, maybe I just wasn't been adventurous enough. Chicago is somewhere that I hope to be going to in the new year, and I love going to Chicago. It's a great city. And actually, again, the deep dish pizza, is this really a Chicago speciality?
Yes, yes. This is, there is a pizza tour that one can take when in Chicago, and I highly recommend doing it. You will try every variety of pizza that is there, and by the end of it, you will be very aware that Chicago is all about deep dish. You start in deep dish, you go through Italy, you go through tavern style, Detroit style, every different type of style, and you end again on deep dish.
So explain deep dish.
So these are, if you think of a circular pie dish, the pastry or the dough is wrapped around it, and then you just get layers of cheese, tomato sauce, and it is a deep, deep, heavy, heavy pizza. The mozzarella, the cheese that's in it becomes very, very stringy and kind of brings it all together. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it's absolutely gorgeous, especially when you have that sauce over there.
And the Chicago-style hot dog is?
Oh, there's a huge Polish community in Chicago. So as a result, there's the idea of like kielbasa sausages in particular, which have a beautiful flavour. The likes of all of those are very, very commonly there. But it's then the Americanization of them with likes of mustards and pickles, different relishes and everything. Hugely, hugely popular there. I only had one hot dog there despite my intention to have several more, but I did have the Italian beef sandwich when I was in Chicago, and this is something you must try. The Bear, of course, was a massive show on Disney Plus over the last couple of years. There's a spot called Mr. Beef. This is where the pilot of the show was recorded. It's very much considered the inspiration for the restaurant that's in The Bear. And the speciality is it's beautiful, thin, really, really thin slices of beef served in a roll that's absolutely dripping in gravy. They top it with a thing called jardinera, which is a pickled vegetable medley with things like carrots, cauliflower, bell peppers, celery all in it. It's a nice little spice to it. I dream of the sandwich. I can see why they made an entire TV show based around this restaurant and this idea, because it was fantastic. Really, really worth going to. There's a couple of other places that do it, but Mr. Beef is the original and the best, I feel.
Okay, there's a couple of places that I go to in Chicago. I've only been there a couple of times, but they're steakhouses. Now, steakhouses can be very expensive, but they can be terrific. Plus place of wonderful food and wonderful surroundings. So there's an Irish guy, Matt Moore, has Chicago Cuts overlooking the river, which is absolutely terrific place. I've been there a couple of times. And also Smith & Wolensky, I mean, I think is a famous New York steakhouse, but it's franchised around the rest of the United States. So it's in Chicago, Las Vegas, stuff again, owned by a group of Irishmen who I would know. And it's terrific as well. Yeah. You pay to eat out.
Yeah.
It can be expensive in the States, but by God, do they give you the big portions in places like Chicago,
don't
they?
Big time, big time. And the steakhouse culture there, when I was visiting, it was explained that we have a lot of steakhouses because we actually have a lot of business people who come, and it's a very catch-all, easy type of restaurant to bring people to. Companies will pay whatever amount it is to get a big, decent steak. And they take pride in the quality of it. They're cooked very well. It's a fantastic city. There's one other restaurant I want to say about it, which is called Virtue. And this was, I annoyingly always visited my favourite places on the last night of my trips to places. And this was doing...
To leave it a good taste on the mouth.
Yeah, and also to annoy me that I didn't discover it on the first day. So this is all Southern cooking. And it was very much inspired by George Floyd riots and everything like that, about trying to reclaim black cuisine and culture and bring it into the cookings and celebrate it. So there's a lot of, you know, you've got your you've got grits, you've got cornbread. It's one of the nicest meals I've ever had. I loved the experience there, and it was in a lovely area near some universities, really young, hip part of the city. Loved it. Really recommend it. It's called Virtue.
Just remind me what grits are again, what made out of.
These are, what is it made out of? It's like cornmeal kind of thing. It's normally like a bit of a soup kind of dish, and it's sometimes topped with bacon, sometimes mixed. It's very creamy, kind of similar to polenta, very similar to polenta in that kind of way, if you're familiar with that from Italy.
Russell Alford, as ever, thank you. Co-restaurant critic at the Sunday Times Ireland and half of the Gastro Gaze, thank you for being with us on The Last Word on Travel, Best Food Destinations.
The Last Word on Today FM.